Good morning, everyone. Beautiful tree, huh? Smells like Christmas. You can turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel 11, verse 12. Thus you will know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, nor have you executed my ordinances, but have acted according to the ordinances of the nations around you. Let me read it again. Thus you will know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, nor have you executed my ordinances, but have acted according to the ordinances of the nations around you. Amen. Amen. So Ezekiel He was one of the contemporary prophets with Jeremiah's time. And Ezekiel was prophesying at a time when basically it was after the Lord had allowed for Judah to be destroyed. And so Jeremiah prophesied during a time when basically he was saying, turn back or God's basically going to allow the Babylonian Empire to come and destroy you. Ezekiel prophesied just a little bit after that, and he was prophesying to the time when basically right after they started getting exiled. And so he was prophesying both to the remnant that was still within Israel, but also to those that have already been exiled. And Ezekiel's he's a very particular kind of prophet. You guys know his story, how God made him lie on his side basically for 390 days on one side, 40 days on another. And so what God was really speaking through Ezekiel was really his displeasure of the sin of Israel at this time. Now, the reason why this verse has really come up to me, and this is something that's actually been on my heart for a little bit, and the significance of this verse, we really have to come to the understanding as to why God was speaking such one harsh judgment to them. But what is the importance of walking away from his ordinances and acting the ways that the nations were around them? And for us to understand that, we have to go all the way back, maybe not quite as far as the commandments, but basically back into the time of Solomon. If you notice, if we look back into the time Israel walked into the promised land, ever since they walked into the promised land, what was the one thing that God continually told them to do? It was to destroy every remnant or destroy everything that he told them to destroy. Basically, whoever it was that was in their way in the promised land, don't take, do not intermarry. Basically, do not take husbands and wives of other cultures, and do not keep idols and gold statues and all the other things of other nations. But if we take a look at Israel's history, that actually continues to happen, even from the days of Joshua. Remember when they take over, they cross over the Jordan, and the first time they destroy a city, remember Achan, right? He takes some of the idols of the city and he hides them. And then not only does that happen then, even when after David, Solomon, when King Solomon becomes basically king, remember he intermarries with different wives, basically thousands of different concubines. And what ends up happening is he introduces to Israel many different cultures, many different beliefs in terms of idol worship. Remember, one of the most severe ones was Molech. If you guys remember, Molech was basically one of the gods that the Philistines worshipped. And in order to worship Molech, Molech was quite satanic, if you think about it, because in order to worship them, it wasn't even just a matter of sacrificing food or sacrificing burnt offerings. What you actually had to do was you had to sacrifice babies. Like live babies. Basically, you take your child and you had to kill and sacrifice this child in order to worship Molech. And so if you take a look at what happens to Israel, as they journey further into the promised land, as they journey into what God had given to them, they would walk further and further away from God. It started with things that actually weren't so bad. The first things they started doing, if you remember, is if we remember, is they start worshiping in high places. If you remember, one of the first things that God gives them in decrees is do not worship in high places. And we see this in Numbers. And part of the reason is high places were places that other nations would worship in. And they were basically just anywhere that they wanted. Like they would worship on the mountaintop, they would worship in a cave, whatever the case may be. But God had very specific places for them to worship. And then not only that, he would tell them, for example, I'm your God. I'm the one who's going to lead you. And then Israel, as they would journey into the promised land, is eventually they would ask for a king. And so they would walk away from God. Now, what is the significance of this? Now, we know that God punishes Israel for walking away from him. But why is this so important? What's the purpose of, what's so bad about breaking these statutes and these decrees? Well, we have to understand that by understanding the way that God blesses Israel. And for us to do that, we have to go to Jeremiah 29, 10, 11. Now, in Jeremiah 29, 10, 11, if you turn with me there, it reads like this, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you, fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you future and a hope." So one of the ways when we read the Bible, we understand that it's all Scripture is God-breathed, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that. So when we read Scripture, not only do we have to understand the, you know, the meaning behind it, but we also believe the order in which God is inspiring it to us or speaking it to us also makes great significance. And so the first thing that we see in God's blessing, and a lot of times when we read this verse, we, you know, as people, we, because we desire the blessing and all these sort of things, the first thing we always see is, verse 11, is God has a plan for me. God has these great, amazing things for me. God has these great, amazing, you know, whether it's my career or whether it's my business, whatever the case may be, but we seem to skim over verse 10. And verse 10 is actually what I believe is the most important part of God's blessing. He says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you." Now, Jeremiah 29:11, remember Jeremiah is prophesying that they're going to be exiled into Babylon. And so there was a false prophet. Remember, he said, "Oh, after 2 years, God's going to bring you back." And then Jeremiah said, "No, it's going to be 7 years." And so basically what Jeremiah was prophesying to them was that you're going to be destroyed and God's going to take his spirit away from you. And so what's happening here is the first thing God says when he's going to restore Israel is not the riches and the plans. The first thing God says he's going to restore to them is himself. And how do we know this? We see this in the word visit in verse 10. The Hebrew, the word visit is pakad, P-A-W-K-A-D. And the word pakad basically means to bring back. And the word bring back is not just bring back as in I'm going to give you back something. The meaning, there's a root behind it, and the root meaning behind this word is that you lost something or something that was missing from you before, something that was perhaps empty, I'm going to bring back and fulfill. And so the first thing God promises to Israel as a blessing is himself. It's not the plans. It's not the welfare. He says, after 70 years is over, I'm going to bring the fullness of myself back to you. And so the blessing of God doesn't just lie in the plans, it's actually him. And so why is it that God gives us, now let me go back now to the whole Ezekiel verse. What's the importance of the ordinances? What's the importance of following his commands? Well, remember, before Christ, the only way that God was able to be with Israel was by them being obedient. Whether it's through their atoning sacrifices, whether it's obeying. And part of the reason is because God abhors sin. And so what he was doing is he was teaching Israel how they could live in such a way that he could be with them all the time. He was teaching Israel how they could live so that he could be in their presence, how he could always basically take care of them, how he can be amidst them and over them and covering them. And basically what God was saying is this, I'm teaching you how you can be blessed. I'm teaching you how you can live so that you can be blessed all of your days because of the presence of God. And so how does this, and so how do we draw this to us? Well, understanding that it is God's presence that brings blessing, we have to really ask ourselves in this way, is are we living in such a way that is conducive to which God is able to be with us? Right? And obviously, unlike the Old Testament, right, we don't have to make sacrifices and these sort of things, but are we living a life in such a way that God is with his presence is able to be with us all the time? You see, this idea is actually not just in the Old Testament. We also see this in the New Testament as well. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, "Therefore, let your character be free from the love of money, for the Lord himself has said, I will never forsake you, nor will I leave you." The writer of Hebrews, he's actually quoting from Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 8, and also in Deuteronomy 31. And if we remember at that time, God was commissioning Joshua as the next leader to step into the promised land. And he was telling him, Joshua, do not be afraid. I'm going to take care of you, right? Be strong and courageous. But what was the prefix of that blessing? It was, follow all the commands that I've given you, right? Follow all the ways in which I've told you to walk. Be strong and courageous because the Lord your God is with you. And so this idea of blessing and God being with us is not just an Old Testament thing. In the New Testament, we're also reminded that in order for us to live the life that God's called us to, we also have to follow in these commandments. We also have to follow in what it is that God has told us to live. And so, are we doing that? Is our lives, are we living in such a way for the blessing of God's presence? Are we living in such a way where we're always inviting the Spirit to come? Are we living in such a way that is basically inviting God to be with us and living in such a way where God can and wants to? Or are we doing it so that we can simply be blessed? Or are we doing it simply to make the decisions, to get ahead, and whatever it is that God has placed us in? Because remember, Israel did the same thing. God gave them the promised land, but they started walking away. They started looking at all the nations around them, seeing what other people around them did, and started following in those ways. And so we need to be careful we don't do that. Right? God gives us a promised land, and we walk into those things, and we start looking around at how other people live, whether it's in companies, if you're a businessman, maybe how other business does things, and we start following them instead of following God, and we start making this mistake. And to be honest, I used to be an entrepreneur, and as a businessman, for those in business, you kind of know this. There's there's very businessy lingo. You know, things such as, if you ever go to an entrepreneur conference, right, like failing forward, right? Or the idea of you have to be 10,000 hours, study 10,000 hours in something to be an expert. I mean, there's a side of that is true. But the whole idea of this, you have to press in and do everything you can and failing is a part of it, all these sort of things, after a while, when I first went into business, I was kind of new to these things. But as I talked to more and more people who were in that world, the more and more I started believing it. And part of the reason why was because it was so convincing. It was because you meet these entrepreneurs who are immensely successful, and they start quoting these one-liners to you, and you start writing it down. And as you're going through business, you start reading. I was like, oh, that is the way I should live, and I should follow this way. But some of the things, actually, it's quite stark in contrast to what scriptures tell you. You know, I don't believe you have to fail 10,000 times to get to the right thing. I mean, if God wants to bless you, he's going to do it the first time. But but that means having to follow God the first time. Or, I don't want to make it so prosperity-like, you follow God, you're going to be blessed. But it's this idea that I think sometimes when we're in the world enough, and sometimes we're surrounded by these things all the time, it's very easy for us to start living according to how the world lives. It's extremely easy, and it becomes almost second nature to us, and we don't even see that we're doing it. And so we need to be very, very careful, right? Ezekiel 11:12, right? Thus, so you know that I am the Lord, right? You did not follow in my commands. Hold on, let me read it. I don't want to butcher it, right? Thus you will know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, nor have you executed my ordinances, but have acted according to the ordinances of the nations around you. Destruction comes when we follow the nations around us. And so we need to be careful not to follow the world. And I don't want to say the world is evil, right? I don't want to make that sort of blanket statement. But we really need to be careful. We need to follow God, not just what we see around us. And so let's close our eyes. And as P. Nate is going to come up, let's just let the Holy Spirit speak to us in this way. Has God blessed you? You know, has He blessed you with a business or maybe great success in whatever industry He's given to you? Or maybe He's given you some sort of promise that He's, you know, that you feel like He's about to lead you into. My question to us is, what is our response to that? Do we simply walk into this promise? You know, thank you, God. And then we just start walking into it and start running and doing whatever it is that we feel like we need to do once God's given it to us. Or do we hold strongly to what God's taught us in His scriptures? Do we walk according to scripture? Do we move in these promises according to how God's told us to move? We need to be very, very careful. Because although these promises are good, they could also be curses if these promises take us away from God. And so as we worship, let's just reflect on this. And let's just ask Him, Lord, help me to continue to know Your word. Help me that I may walk in Your statutes, in Your commands. Help me not just to fall into the ways of the world, but to continue to believe and to trust that You are God and that You are fighting for me. Let's pray.
You call me out upon the great unknown where feet may fail. There I find You in the mystery, in ocean.
Let's ask Holy Spirit to help us to take us deeper into His Word, deeper into His commands, and ask Him to always remind us when we need to follow Him. Let's pray. Pray for those in our community in need of healing of cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really pray for God's covering over them. But, you know, in light of this word, you know, I visited a friend yesterday who's in the hospital. And one of the conversations we started having was talking about, you know, oftentimes when you're seeing a doctor, it's hard as a Christian because doctors will tell you, oh, this is what's going to happen. You know, you likely won't be healed from this, or, you know, this is going to take a long time. And we started talking about, you know, there's a very present reality in which we live in, right, where sickness is taking place. But there's also a very scriptural reality. We're in heaven where there is no sickness and where God is bringing healing. And so I think part of our prayers and our attitude as Christians is recognizing, yes, there's a physical reality, but we're praying the scriptural reality into basically now. And so, you know, as we pray for our friends, let's really pray that God's going to break any lie of the enemy, right? To break the what's just physically in front of us. Yes, there's sickness, but His Word is healing. And so let's really pray for His healing. Let's really lift Him up. Let's pray for our friends in need of healing, but also salvation as well. Let's pray for God to do only what He can do. Let's pray that He'll open their eyes, that they'll accept Him as Lord. But let's also pray that during this time, God will bring them comfort and healing as well. Let's pray for our friends in need of healing from non-cancer related infirmities. I just want to highlight SJ's brother, Seon. He actually went into hospital yesterday. And so he lost quite a bit of blood. He lost basically about a liter of blood. So he was quite pale. He needed a transfusion. And he's doing much better right now. But let's really pray for God to continue to heal and bring healing over his body. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray that God removes all fear and just for grace to really cover him and his family. Pray for our friends in need of work as well. Let's lift them up. Let's ask for God's favor to really fall on them. Let's pray that God will be able to sustain them during this time and that they will find hope and peace. And so let's pray. To our mission focus. Let's lift up China. Let's lift up SB Beijing and Beijing family. Let's pray for covering, especially during this time when Pi Hunsu's on the lead pastor retreat. Let's really pray for Chloe and also for Enoch as well. Let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark and the churches. Let's really pray for God to continue to do a mighty work in China. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for the board as well. Let's lift up Peace, Sam, and Kiwan, Bri, Sandro, Max, Jackie, and Monica. Let's pray for wisdom as they convene and as they make decisions for the church. Let's cover their families as well and their kids. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's cover our fellowship ministries. Let's cover men and women's ministry, young adults and Springs. Let's pray for God to really come and really disciple through these ministries and to bring blessing over our men and women in the house. Let's lift up SP 2.0. Let's pray for God to continue to just move, whether it's in the benefactor or whatever the case may be, that He'll just bring us into our new home. Let's also pray for the auction that's coming up. Let's pray that, that we'll be able to just really sow into this vision. And so let's lift up. Let's lift up the house churches as well. Let's lift up Sumbria, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, Happy Valley, Island, New Condon, Robin Hood. Let's pray for an amazing time of fellowship tonight, and that God will just come and just minister to them as they worship and talk about the Word. Yeah, Lord, we thank You, God, that You want to bless us so much, God, with Your Word. You want to bless us with Your presence. You want to bless us, God, with the fullness, God, of life. And so, Lord, we just ask, God, will You continue to help us, Lord, to remember, God, how to walk in Your ways. Lord, not let the pressures of this world, God, or to let, whatever other people are doing, Lord, really influence us. But, God, for us to simply walk in Your ways, Lord, to follow hard after You. And so, God, I thank You for my friends, God, and all the areas of life in which You've blessed them, God. I pray, God, that in their promises, Lord, in the areas of ministry that they have, the Lord, You will keep them. The Father, You will bless them in abundance, God, as they follow You. And so we thank You, Lord. And Lord, I especially want to lift up a Seon as well, God, right now. I pray, God, for healing over his intestines, God. Lord, we pray, God, for You just to come against, Lord, and we break the lies of enemy, God, saying, Lord, he cannot be healed. Lord, we say no to that, God, and we say full and complete healing. Lord, we pray for comfort, Lord, and grace in this time, and we pray for hope, Lord, to arise. And we just thank You, Lord. Provide for them everything that they need, God. We thank You, Lord. We lift them up, God. And so in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a good week. We'll see you tomorrow.